Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. I'm David Reed, this is Marek Larwood.
Mine is Marek Larwood, yes. That was really bad intro.
Did you not like it? Why?
It was just sort of, do you know what? I'm not even listening to what I'm saying, so why should other people listen to it?
Alright, you do it.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango. Oh, shit, wait, hang on.
You're right. I'll do it like that.
Well, I'm going to do it now. Listen, ready, go. Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast where we discuss some films we've seen at the cinema in a roundabout manner. I am Marek Larwood. This other person who's going to speak now is David Reed.
Hello, listeners. Thank you for tuning in again. Tuning in, you don't tune in. That's not what happens.
For downloading. Thank you to your computers for automatically downloading this, and you probably had no choice in the matter, and now you realise you've got it, you think, do you know what, I better unsubscribe to that.
Yeah, thanks for spring cleaning your podcast subscriptions, going, what's this? I don't remember agreeing to download this every week. This must be killing my battery life. We're going to talk about films again this week.
Do you want to go first?
As a change.
Should you flip a coin?
Yeah, all right. Oh, this is exciting podcast listening.
I mean, I wonder who listeners are cheering on. What do you want, heads or tails?
I'll take heads, please.
Heads it is.
Okay, I'll go second.
Okay.
Mark, what film did you go and see?
I'm fresh back from the cinema. First of all, I went to the 11:50 showing at the Leicester Square View West End Cinema.
Ah, the most expensive cinemas in London.
£15.
Bloody hell. Is it 3D?
No.
Oh my God.
And there was me and one other guy in there, and he wasn't even sitting close to me. I sat right at the back. I said, what seat do you want? And I said, well, there's one other seat taken in literally a 400-seater thing. I went, why can't I sit where I like? She went, well, no, you have to... No, you have to pick a seat. Okay, I'll sit there.
Well, at least you're getting a personable service for your £15.
Well, I was sitting in the top, on the back row, top, sort of not in the middle section.
Were you sat next sections. To each other, these?
No, in the left, right at the, so I could put my legs out, in the left-hand corner. He was sitting in the middle, maybe three rows ahead in the middle.
Yeah.
So about 30 or 40 yards away.
Yeah.
And I came in and I started eating my popcorn. I was not even making a noise. And he looked at me and he moved to the other end of the cinema.
Wow.
Which immediately made me think.
He was touching himself?
Yeah.
But at what? Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill?
It must be Channing Tatum. Oh, I haven't said what I see. I went to see 22 Jump Street.
The sequel to 21 Jump Street.
Yes.
The remake of the TV show that launched the career of Johnny Depp.
Well, 21 Jump Street came out, I think it was 2012 or something, I can't remember. And it was one of my favourite films of that year. It was hilariously funny, really great chemistry between Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill. Both really funny, felt stupid, but the right line of stupid.
It was one of those things of getting the balance right, wasn't it? Because it could have broken its own world and suddenly you don't care about these characters or the story. You just care about Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill doing stupid jokes, and that won't sustain for 90 minutes. But it got the balance perfect, I thought.
Well, you just reviewed 22 Jump Street.
Oh, have I? Oh.
It was a terrible, terrible sequel.
Oh.
My expectations are really high, but in the first, just, I think it's all about laugh out loud moments and great moments. In the first, I'm quite difficult to make laugh out loud anyway, because I'm a miserable prick. But the first film, 21 Jump Street, made me laugh out loud on numerous occasions. The writing was really clever and snappy. This was really lazy, and I thought it was unbelievably poor. For what it was, they just copied the same film in setting college.
Yeah.
Almost entirely copied the structure, and they did. They kept on referencing. These aren't really spoilers. They kept on referencing that it was a second film and it was going to be worse. But they referenced that it was a second film so many times that they were doing stuff they'd done before and doing exactly the same, almost like that.
Yeah.
Not even making a joke of it. We're just going to do the same stuff again. Yeah. And you think, well, you can say that once. You can't say that five or six times. And they did a bit where they're college, and just to establish they're older, someone had to say, oh, you look a bit old to be a college student. But they did this joke, and maybe, or said that you look old, possibly about 50 or 60 times, but in a rubbish way, like, hey, shouldn't you be, hey, you stink of gravy. Hey, what's the smell of the lot? I'm just making stuff up.
Yeah.
Hey, what are those wrinkles? Hey, I bet you need a stair lift. Hey, where's your cane? Hey, what's it like heavy smelling of vinegar? That sort of thing. That equivalent.
And I'm annoyed standard. Already.
And there was loads of this, felt like improvisation. There's one sort of style of acting I hate, which is like the office acting, where it's just people talking like they're funny, just improvising, but it's a bit rubbish.
Yeah.
And like a lot of it was just them improvising, saying, hey guys, just do that bit where you just talk to each other and keep it fresh and really unscripted and it'll be funny. It was really loose and it was in the film. The problem was, is that they, in the first film, you believe there was, it was funny and stupid, but you believed in that premise of them going to school. They made it somehow believable, and they stuck to the story. Was a structure here. You never believed it for a second. It was exactly the same as the first. Even to them having, they're selling, that even the first 21 Jump Street, there's people selling drugs in the school. This one, they're selling drugs in the college. There's pretty much no difference. Yeah. And then they have their relationship goes a bit weird. And they just reference, it's about as articulate as my review of it. I was dreadfully disappointed, David.
No, because you were looking forward to it. In fact, I remember the last thing we said in the last episode was I asked you to name a good comedy sequel and you said 22 Jump Street. I wanted it to be good as two. I mean, it was a really good film, the first one.
This has got... I'm amazed.
There aren't any, though. Are there any good comedy sequels?
I was looking on IMDb. I think it's a Naked Gun one. So
oh, good. Yes. Naked Gun 2.5 is excellent. 33 and a third is fine. It's not quite as good. But no, you're right. You're absolutely right.
And Hot Shots Part 2.
I love Hot Shots Part 2. Airplane 2 is not strong. It's set in a space shuttle. That's the equivalent of going to college after your high school film.
This has got a really high rating. It's rated higher on IMDb than the previous one. I cannot understand why.
Well, people have started rating films before they come out on IMDb just based on how much it should get because the people in it are great. Like, there are plenty of films that haven't even been released yet. You'll see have 8s and 9s on IMDb.
I was reading a review on IMDb by some bloke called Brad Harvey. This is what he's written. The sequel, 21 Jump Street, is by far the funniest film I've seen this year. It was probably due to it being the weirdest film I've seen this year. Also, you couldn't predict what was coming next. This man should be shot. It's by far one of the least funny films I've seen this year. And it's probably being one of the most predictable films I've seen this year. You can tell what's going to happen next because it's exactly what happened in the first one, but worse. It's like just... It's just so say I've just painted a beautiful masterpiece.
Yeah.
Someone's cut all my fingers off, and by having a set of paints, they've given me a set of Beryl pens that have run out, and I've got to recreate that painting. That's my allegory for.
Have they Hangover 2'd it then? Is that what's happening?
I didn't even watch Hangover 2.
Neither did I. But I've heard it sort of people did not love it in the same way, did they?
I think you've got to earn the right to be funny in that film. They almost, it was as if they had thought, oh, we were funny in the first film, so whatever we do is automatically funny in this film.
Mm.
And the writing was really sharp, and the bits were, and the slapstick was better in the first film. This was just not very good. And they just...
Is it a different director?
No, I think it's the same bloke, Phil Lord. Phil Lord and Christopher Miller. And the first one, I can't remember who the director is. I'm going to find it, though. I'm going to find it if it's the last thing I do. Yeah, the same people.
How odd.
And Michael Bacall wrote the first one.
Well, it's so... But I don't know. I don't know what it is about the method, about the process of writing a comedy film, but Anchorman 2 is a... I know you don't like the first one very much, but I do. But this, the second one is a pale imitation. It's, again, it's the same, trying to do the same thing, but just having no... It's almost like the innovation disappears when you do a sequel. And that shouldn't be the case. Just because the characters are the same characters we know and love doesn't mean that you can't innovate with the world they inhabit.
The best thing about this is the credits, which almost mocks the fact that this film is a bit of a cash-in that isn't as tightly scripted.
Right.
And I think it's so self-referential, it crosses the line, and nothing interesting happened, and I didn't like it. And I give it 4 Marics. And I'm really interested to hear what our viewers think. Is it just me being an old man and my sense of humour changed, or am I right? Actually, I know I'm right, but I want people to write in with their opinions.
Well, if you want to write in and tell Marek he's right, then you can do so. dearfilmfandango@gmail.com is our email address, or you can write on our Facebook wall, facebook.com/filmfandango, or tweet us at Mr. David Reed, at Marek Larwood, or at Film Fandango.
And if you want to donate to the podcast and help me get some of the £16 back I paid for the film, it always helps to...
Rounding up.
Yeah, of an extra 5p. I mean, the 5p I can have, that can go towards my travel card. But it really helps us to pay for the cost of putting this online and all that nonsense. If you like it, just give us 20p, to me. All right.
To do that, go to filmfandango.co.uk and follow the link from there.
Hey, we've got a letter.
Hello, letter.
Hello, David.
Oh, it's a polite one. A bit saucy as well.
Do you want to read it?
Sure. What accent are we doing?
He's got Midlander living on the south coast.
Oh, I can't do Midlands.
Should I read it then?
Yeah.
Okay, this is from Rob Scott.
David American Buddy. Having just spent the last week off work, brackets poorly old me, I found plenty of time to relive all the old films I used to love before marriage and kids took over. Some of them I'd forgotten entirely. And as it was such a gloriously wonderful reminder of how fantastically bizarre and brilliant Stephen Chow's Kung Fu musical Looney Tunes video game mashup of Kung Fu Hustle was. It was so good. I watched it 3 times and was contemplating phoning in sick to watch it again afterwards. Have you guys seen it? And do you feel any love for it in his previous film, Shaolin Soccer? Anyways, now I'm feeling better. I've handed over the Blu-ray controls to the younger generation. I want to spend my time trying to convince them they should watch the insanely insane Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs instead of Hop or Bloody Barbie. Cheers, loving the podcast, Rob. Midlands are living on the south coast.
Oh. Have you seen Kung Fu?
I've seen Kung Fu Hustle and Shaolin Soccer.
I've not seen either of them. Tell me what
they
are about.
They are so much fun.
What are they about?
They are, if you imagine, a live-action manga film. It was a while ago I watched it, but they're sort of bonkers. Shaolin Soccer is sort of superhero football with, you know, sort of manga style ability with the ball and stuff. Like there is stuff happening, like a guy shooting the ball so hard into the goal that it rips the goalie's clothes off as it goes past him. It's just crazy. It's brilliant. He did one called God of Cookery as well, which was him being a sort of a cartoony kung fu cookery guy.
This is Stephen Chow.
Yeah, he directs them and stars in them.
And so Kung Fu Hustle was not the same as Jet. What happened in that then?
Kung Fu Hustle is more of a sort of there are gangsters moving in on a small sort of deprived area of a town, and they have to defend it from these guys. It's really good fun.
I have seen Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
I haven't seen it to the end. I it was on telly and I had to go out.
I thought it was alright. I can't remember what happened.
It's quite charming, really. It was around that time when Pixar were getting a bit dull, and then suddenly a load of actually quite fun and interesting cartoons came out from other studios. Sort of around sort of Despicable Me time. And
have you still
Despicable
got...
Me time is not it's not what it sounds like.
Hang on a minute.
Have you ever had Despicable Me time?
No. When do you have yours Despicable Me time?
Well, it's flexible. Depends when I can just, you know,
when everyone's out of the away. House, when the dog's asleep.
Yeah.
Everyone's so asleep now. Oh no. And listen, I better go, David. have you still got Netflix?
Yes.
I've unsubscribed.
Why?
Because it's just, I've seen everything.
They don't update it that quickly. I've been watching TV shows on it, so it's very useful for that. But because you know, it takes ages to get through those.
There's no one in the cinema at the moment. I think it's two reasons. TV shows like Game of Thrones are on, and things like Fargo, which are great TV series.
Yeah.
And the World Cup.
Especially cinema. Do you watch Game of Thrones?
Yes.
Because the second to last episode of this series...
I've not seen that one yet.
I won't spoiler it, don't worry. But they really upped their game in terms of cinematic sort of appeal, what you can do with a TV episode, you know? It was the most expensive one they've done.
Oh, because I thought this fourth season has been quite boring until at the end. Anyway, we're not here to talk about... Right. These things, but
no, you're right. I mean, the cinemas are sort of closed, not closed, but you know, then I don't know what they're going to have to do in order to sort of keep people
charge
going.
£16.
Well, no, but that just kills it anyway.
That's what
it's
I think.
Always cinema's always been sort of the theatre of the common man, like something that for everyone rather than, you know, elitist. And
matinee Leicester Square, there's two people in a 400 seater cinema,
yeah.
The last two films I've seen at the cinema has been the average has been 1.5 attendance.
I mean, it's crazy, especially when you know you can go and see some West End shows or whatever for a tenner, and then you're spending £15 to see a film. I mean, it's bonkers.
I don't like West End things. A couple of people tweeted in. Well, I tweeted about the cinema prices. @MacInteresting tweets in. Cinema near my parents' roof falling in, stinks of vomit, unchanged since the 80s, but £4 a ticket and free sweets.
Blimey.
I think that's in Scotland somewhere.
Sounds like
I'm not just saying it because I think he's Scottish, that guy.
Okay.
But it probably is.
£4 a ticket, that's about right, isn't it?
Well, I think matinee should be cheap. I think yeah. You can't. But £16, it's not even a sofa seat or 3D. I don't know who's making the money. And it defeats the object of it. I don't know. But hey, you've been to the cinema as well, haven't you?
Yeah. I've seen a horror film that came out. This one's called Oculus.
Is it about an optician's?
That's right. Yeah, no, it's not.
It's got something to do with the
eye. No one's done it. Sort of, yes. It's about a mirror.
What does Oculus mean?
It's an old word for a mirror, I think. An Oculus, as in a seeing device.
I'm going to look it up. Oh, it's like a... Okay. It's not like an glasses that octopus wear.
No, it's as in ocular, like to do with vision.
What's your exact definition of it, please?
An Oculus, I think it's a word for a seeing glass, as in a reflective glass.
The problem is, I've just put it into the internet and
it's
only,
just the film, isn't it?
Yeah.
Put define colon space Oculus.
Meaning... Put meaning.
Okay.
A round or eye-like opening or design. So a circular window. The next thing is the central boss of a volute.
Of course, the central boss of a volute, yes.
What is a volute?
A volute. I have no idea.
Oh, there it is, the top of the dome. People at the top of domes have got Oculuses. I knew.
Ah, so yeah, it's an aperture, isn't it?
Yeah, so just a hole at the bottom of a dome
to let light in.
Yeah, so not like in a stadium, but so imagine a stadium and almost
a stadium's almost like a huge Oculus, isn't it?
Yeah, a bit massive Oculus.
Massive Oculus.
Well, how was
the
your
Oculus dome? Well, this I'll tell Oculus? You what this my Oculuses were just fine. Going to see this. It's a small scale horror film about an evil mirror, and it stars Karen Gillan from Doctor Who and soon to be Guardians of the Galaxy, and some pretty boy, and
it wasn't me, was it?
It wasn't you. No, it wasn't. Okay. I don't think so. Anyway, and then it also has your favourite actress I've mentioned before, Katie Sackhoff.
Which one? Oh,
from Battlestar Galactica.
Because of the name,
and
I liked,
yeah,
I?
And Riddick. And she plays her mum. But it basically tells a story in two separate times. One when they were kids and this thing that happened with this mirror. And the second one now they're sort of in their 20s, late 20s or early 20s, I don't know. And
just say mid.
Mid-20s, good, good. And they are trying to come to terms with what happened when they were kids with this mirror and trying to prove that the mirror did it.
Oh, an evil mirror.
Mm.
Like Snow White.
Yeah. It's quite Shining-y in terms of they don't define the rules of what the mirror is and what it is trying to do and all of that. It's just creepy.
Is it American? They've got American accents.
Yeah, they, yes. Yes, they do.
Hey, look at the creepy mirror.
That's yeah.
Hey, what's that creepy face in the mirror? Oh, it's just me.
It's me. Oh, no, but it winked at me. Oh, it's having some despicable me time.
Is it an 18 or a 15?
Oh, I don't know, because I'm older than 18 now, so
what
I can just wander into
these.
What
do you think it was?
I think it was probably a 15, because it's actually fairly gore-free, weirdly, but it's more interesting than your standard sort of Paranormal Activity or Final Destination or any of these things, because in the remembering of their childhood stuff, they also start to picture themselves as young again and hallucinate things that they're kids again, so that all sort of blends over each other in really quite a good way.
I don't really understand.
Well, it's hard to explain, really, but as in, you know, you will be looking at your laptop like you are now.
I'm trying to look up the age of it, what Oculus is, so I can tell the. But he's just saying, "Ah, oh,
what?
No, the age rating of Oculus."
Oh, I see.
But that's American, isn't it?
Yeah. PG-13. Rated R.
Carry on talking. I need to find
okay.
out.
Okay. Well, basically, it turns out that something, their parents went mad when they were kids and something happened and it was all rather creepy and horrible. But the Oculus can make you hallucinate things and see things that aren't really there, and so you end up doing the bad things. It doesn't actually hurt anyone itself. It just shows you stuff and makes you think you've seen stuff. And it's creepy. It gets under your skin. There's a slightly annoying sort of almost constant bass rumble under the whole thing to make it sound creepy.
Are you sure that was a girl screaming in the background? People walking.
I didn't hear anything.
Oh no, it's something I've done in the past. Are you sure it wasn't an underground train going under the cinema?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Rumble, rumble, rumble. It's actually must be a really cheap film, because there aren't. It's mostly just directorial flair. It's not even DOP flair. Like it's not particularly beautiful. It's just sort of shot like a film. But it's got something interesting. It's not brilliant. It's not bad either. You know, it weirdly doesn't really jump its own shark. You know how horror films tend to go all out in the final act and it goes crazy. It sort of just carries on, and it's. There's plenty of unanswered questions at the end. And
did you stay to the end?
Yes.
What's Karen Gillan like? Is she good?
She's all right. I mean, I wasn't expecting her career to have taken off after Doctor Who particularly. I thought she was likeable, but you know, sort of good at what she was doing. But no, she seems to be everywhere now in the States.
One thing I've learned, the mistake I've made, is you need to be middle of the road.
You should have accepted that Doctor Who companion job.
You just have to do the normal stuff. Be a normal person, and you'll get all the normal people. Like, you'll get the guy who's in the adverts for the football, in the World Cup, the guy, whenever I want. I've been for 100 advert auditions, more than that now. I haven't got one. And there's one guy there, and he was a knob at these auditions, so I'm going off subject now.
It's all right.
And he's in every, especially now, it's football season. You know when you watch those adverts and there's some twats drinking a beer?
Yeah.
Like, I am normal bloke with two normal mates. Whoa, he's going to score a goal! Hey, do you want a beer, mate? Yeah, I'll have a beer. He's one of those guys, and he is in every other football advert guy in the background. If you see him, you reckon, if you tape or do a mashup of all those videos, you'll see him probably earning about 100 grand from different things, just for being a really average, normal guy.
People want to be told that drinking the amount of beer they drink is normal. So they want a normal-looking guy to do that. It's interesting, they never put fat people drinking beer in adverts. They're always skinny guys in skinny jeans.
There's no one fat.
No.
So it's really normal people. Yeah, do you want to come down to the pub? What are we going to talk about? Football, and we're going to drink beer. And also, we're boring twats.
I think we've gone quite far off topic now. Are you alright?
I'm just a bit annoyed.
Okay.
I tell you what, though.
What?
Someone did put a... someone did post on our Facebook page... I talked about monsters, and that we talked about after watching Edge of Tomorrow. What's it called? The Tom Cruise one.
Yeah. Well, Monsters is the guy who did that. Did Godzilla?
Yes. And
Gareth Evans.
And after
or Edwards, which one is he? One of them did The Raid, and the other one did Godzilla. Edwards.
One of those.
Gareth Edwards.
Bill Boswell's posting on our Facebook page. Because I talked about the quality of monsters not being as good.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a film, which is like it might have a good monster, you don't really see it, called Harbinger Down. That's on there. And there's a link to that of a potential monster. But the film, Harbinger Down, went down, which is a Kickstarter film, which stars the guy from Lawrence, what's his name, from Alien?
Lawrence.
Alien 2.
Which guy?
The guy who's the alien in Alien 2.
The guy who's the alien?
Not the alien, the android in Alien 2.
Oh, the guy who plays Bishop?
Yeah.
Lance Hendrickson.
Yes, bingo.
Thank you.
And the film's called Harbinger Down. And it's on, they're trying to get money on Kickstarter or something. The monster looks quite interesting.
What is it?
It looks like it's a cross between The Thing and Alien, to be honest.
The Thing can be anything, though, can't it? It's just a thing.
That was a great monster.
Brilliant monster.
Even the monsters in The Thing are probably... one of the best monsters ever. The upside down head monster.
Yeah. Terrifying stuff.
Why isn't there a monster as good as the 70s and 80s monsters?
It's the effects, man. I'm telling you. It's scarier, the fact that it's sort of real and shonky and therefore creepy. Pixels aren't scary.
It's all pixels, mirrors and all that bullshit. I've been swearing quite a lot.
You have. You've really gotten down since I was talking about Karen Gillan's career. I mean, to be honest, I don't think you'd gone up for things opposite each other quite as much as you clearly must have done.
I don't go up for things.
Okay.
I just go and watch films, come round here,
yeah.
Sit in the room.
I think you're being a bit of a downer now.
Talk about films.
I mean, even sort of, I think you're becoming so down now, you're even sort of off brand. You're off your own brand.
What do you do then?
What do you mean?
In real life.
In real life? That's none of our listeners' business.
Yeah, it's none of your business, so don't you try interfering. I mean, I've gone mental in this episode. I've gone mental. I didn't even feel that mental when I came round, which is a worrying thing.
Are you dehydrated? I've not offered you coffee this time, I've noticed.
No, I had a coffee before I came round. Maybe I'm dehydrated. Basically, what's happened is I've got builders... next door taking the roof off. I've just moved to this new place, which my old house they're building in for a year.
Yeah.
and I've been in a new place in a month and taking the roof off next door, and I'm doing this Football World Cup show. I have to get up at 5:30 in the morning.
Oh, blimey.
And I come back home and I can't sleep because the builders are there. This is why the builders have done this to me.
You're going slightly crazy.
This would be the horror film.
Like in the film Oculus.
Yeah, but you call the film Constant Builders. There's a guy, i.e. me, and he hasn't got any work, so he has to spend a lot of time at home, and he can't ever relax because wherever he goes, there's builders.
It's a bit like The Shining, but instead of a little boy with a trike, you've got builders.
Yeah, and as soon as he tries to get to sleep, like Nightmare, it's like Nightmare on Elm Street, but the other way around, the builder starts banging or shouting something in Polish.
And so he just kills all the builders and then can't stop, he kills everyone.
He kills every single builder. No buildings. He goes out, he kills every single builder. So everyone is too scared to start building. The houses fall down, people become homeless. The whole society breaks down because of this guy didn't get any sleep because of the builders. The constant builder.
And then the twist at the end is there were no builders. It was all in his head and he's just killed everyone.
It was all just in the mirror.
In the Oculus. In the hole at the top of a geodesic dome. Geodesic.
Well, we got there. We got to some sort of meaning, didn't we, to this podcast in the end?
Did we? That must have passed me by. I think Oculus is probably worth a 6. 5 or 6.
Okay.
It's fun, but it's not that ambitious, to be honest. It's just sort of well done. It doesn't even feel like a telly movie, you know? It feels like I don't know what it is. It's odd.
Talking of odd, this is the end of the podcast.
That is odd.
Hey, keep
watching
the films.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.